allow me a liberty to say this while I'm thinking about it. Minister Allen is off working in a position that he have been given by the moderator as a missionary to the district. He was at Greater Peace last Sunday, and I think he's at Campton today. And he will be somewhere else. I think he will be here next Sunday, be able to come to, unless somebody called him Saturday night and said they need the missionaries Sunday morning, then he, because of the way he have obligated himself, he will not be with us. So I'm saying that because I want you to prepare yourself for not seeing him sometimes. And because once we get used to seeing people and we don't see them, we think something is wrong with them, and something is wrong with him. He's working. I know y'all probably get tired of me talking about food and eating. But I was just standing here looking at the subject, and I had not thought about it until now. Ingredients. And when I see ingredients, I think of food. Of doing something that I love to do. But the ingredients of a life of faith. We're going to give you just three of these today. And I don't know whether we'll give you any more of them or not, but right now today we're going to give you three. So we have 3 points in our message today. Ushers, you may take your seat. The 11th chapter of Hebrews is one of the great chapters in the Bible. It is known as God's Hall of Fame. Men and women who have believed God down through the centuries are listed as being great men and women of God. Now, I don't want you to miss this. The key to greatness with God is faith in Him. The person who truly believes God is great in the eyes of God. The key to any of us being great in the eyes of God is faith. Faith in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what all He can do for us. Then I ask myself a question. What does the word faith mean? Time and time again in the Bible discusses faith and the great importance of faith. The Bible tells us that we must have faith. It tells us that we must believe God. And it also tells us the great things that happen to those who believe God. The Bible also gives us numerous example after example of men and women who have and have not believed God, and shows in clear terms what happened to each one of them. But somewhere I read, this is the only place in the Bible that he defines it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, not next week, not next month, now faith is, not maybe, not gonna be, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can't see it, but it's there. And it's faith in something or somebody that I cannot see. Abraham had this faith, and he walked in it. And if the head walks in it, the rest of the family will walk in it. You have to, because if you're under the leadership of the head and the head believes, you're so close to it that what drips off the head falls on you. You have to have faith in God, because hey, the rest of us won't be around here sometime when you need us. But we have to have faith in God. Point number one. And this is where a lot of us will jump off the boat right here. True faith involves a willingness to obey. You have to make up your mind that you're going to obey. And can I just tell you that when you make up your mind you're going to obey, you still, you're going to mess up. And when you mess up, just remember, you got to pay the piper if you're going to dance. You don't dance for free. You got to pay. Abraham made up his mind that he was going to obey God. And I know all of you are Bible scholars. You go back to the book of beginnings, back in Genesis chapter 12. Abraham down in the land of Ur, and God called him. Abraham, I got something for you to do. It's not like this, but this is the way I understand it. You got to leave from where you are. You got to get out from around all the people that you know. But sometime when you get ready to leave, help me, Holy Ghost, the people that you want to get away from, they'll follow you. Yeah, I know you think nobody didn't follow you where you went, but the devil was right there with you. He did not allow you to get out of his sight. So Abraham, when he was called of God, he and his father and Lot and their family, they left and went to a place called Haran. But he followed God. He left from where he was. Can I just tell you, you got to obey God. Abraham demonstrated one of the greatest examples of faith in the Bible. He believed against all odds. He endured in faith. Abraham's faith was a faith of obedience, a faith of believing faith, a faith that genuinely obeyed and believed God. Abraham's call was a great call. When God called him, he heard him and he answered. He packed up and he left. He packed up all he had and he left. But see, sometime God calls you. Help me, Holy Ghost. And I don't want you to miss this. Doesn't mean when God calls you, you have to physically leave from wherever you are. But you got to leave. Yeah, you got to leave. You got to come. He said, "Whoso come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden." And you got to come. And to come means to leave from where you are. And since the word says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, you got to spiritually leave from where you are when God calls you. And let me throw this in there for my friends who think when God first called you, everything that you've done yesterday going to leave you. It ain't going to leave you. It took you 50 years to get as sorry and as sinful as you are. God does all he's going to do for you when you ask him, and he does his part, but you still got to live and do your part. You got to shed sin. Like you shed some clothes a piece at a time. Because we get accustomed to it. No, I ain't putting crutches on the arm for you to continue in sin. But that's my last point. I don't want to get there yet. Abraham had a great faith. He had a decisive faith. He decided. He made a decision that I'm going to obey God. I'm going to do what he said. He made that decision, and so therefore he said, "I'm going to obey God." And he said it based upon what he did. And I know in your mind, because it come to my mind, I said, "Yeah, but if he decided he was going to obey God, he still messed up somewhere down the line." But he didn't plan to mess up. No, don't grab those crutches, because I'm not putting them on your arm. You have to walk away from sin. And if sin was not pleasurable, yeah, you wouldn't do it. There's not a one of you in here, if you would look at yourself in the mirror and tell the truth, that did not or not still enjoying your sin. That's why we commit them. That's why it's difficult to leave them, because we like pleasure, we think. But if you turn to God and obey God, God will help you get through whatever you're trying to conquer. You have to have a decisive faith, and you make that decision and you go through that. You go through with it. Abraham continued to follow God as a pilgrim, going from place to place, living in tent to tent. God had promised him that he was going to own the land where he was going. But yet the only thing he owned in that land at the time was a place to bury Sarah. That's all. Didn't own anything else. But he was looking at, he obeyed, and he believed the word of God.
Yes, yes.
Obedience to the word of God is more than what you can see. We'll see it and believe it. Now, faith, you don't see it, but you got to believe it. You believe it because God said it. God said it, whether you believe it or not, that's enough. You don't have to believe it, but God said it. And when you're of faith and you're obeying God, you have to know that. No matter what comes or goes, I'm believing and I'm trusting in God. I'm going to be obedient to the word of God. Abraham obeyed God, got up and went, not knowing where he was going. I'm not going to ask a logical question right here now about which one of us would do that right now. Very few of us, if we told the truth, would stick up our hand, sell everything you got and move. We don't want to move sometimes when we're going to take everything we got. We want to stay right where we are because we're comfortable, we're satisfied right there. But Abraham obeyed God, went not knowing where he was going. That's a faith of obedience, doing what thus saith the Lord. Abraham believed that God will create a nation out of through him and his seed. He believed that God would give him a child against all odds. He believed in an eternal city. He believed that God had the power to raise the dead. And I'm wondering if he had ever seen any of this. But by faith, he walked with God. And the ingredients of faith is one of them is that you have to be willing to obey God, not knowing where you're going. Abraham did this. Living by faith. In Florida, in this time of the year, is like driving in a fog. A lot of you drive back and forth to Eglin when it's foggy. 75 and 80, you don't see. But you drive because you're trusting in yourself and in the God that you serve to get you through. You can't see. You can't put your lights on bright because that's worse. It shows you everything. When it's on dim, you can't see a whole lot of it. But we drive by faith because we know that something, we've been down that road before. But when you're walking with God by faith, a lot of the time, you have not been down that road. You're driving by faith. You're driving by faith. God's an awesome God. When we obey him, he will lead and guide and direct us where we're going. You'll walk on new territory because you're trusting and believing in God. You're like the song that says, order my steps in your word, lead me and guide me. That's when you're walking, when you can't see where you're going, but God, I'm trusting you. I know that you got my back and my front and because I'm obeying you. A lot of us don't like for other people to know that we are walking with God. Point number two. True faith involves a willingness to wait. True faith involves a willingness to wait. Sister Sarah is a dynamic example of what it is to wait and believe in God and believe in the impossible. I know, same thing come to your mind, it came to mind. God had promised them, she heard him, what he had said, but Ishmael still was born. And when she heard the message, it said the seed would come from Sarah. But she said to her, she said, basically, God, you're too slow. We got to help you out do this. And let's not look at Sarah too hard, because we are the same way. We try to help God out. We try to help God be God. And all you got to do is just do your part and believe and have faith. And be willing to wait on God. And you not be God, the God that you're waiting on. So she believed in the impossible. Let me ask you a question that I don't want you to answer. Do you ever feel like God have put you on hold? You ever feel like you got him, you rung him up and you got his number, and all of a sudden you feel like you're on hold? That means you gotta wait. You gotta wait on him. I believe that's what Abraham and Sarah felt like. Must have felt like God had put them on hold for 25 years. They had to wait for the fulfillment of the promise. But they waited. I'm glad you asked. I heard you when you asked me. Why you said they waited? Because they still had faith and trust in God. Sometimes it doesn't mean that you're not going to go through anything. While you're waiting, some things happen. Nobody eats a tomato that soon as it gets on the vine. First thing you got to do, it'll come as a bloom. And then it turns to a green tomato. And then the tomato that's on the vine got to grow. It has to grow and it has to become mature. Sometimes you can take it off the vine before it turns. But then you got to put it where the sun will hit it, and then that'll help it to turn. But if you leave it on the vine, that's the waiting on God. Some of us want to come here mature, 25 years old and fully grown, knowing everything that we need to know. No, God doesn't make it like that. You got to stay on the vine and mature for a little while. And some of us, it takes us longer than 25 years to mature. Sarah had difficulties believing God at first. When she first heard the promise of God, she doubted the promise of God. Why do you say that, Becky? Because of what I just got through telling you. While she was waiting, while she was hanging on the vine, she tried to help God out, her and Brother Abraham as well. God gave the promise to Abraham, just like he gave it to Isaac, to eat Adam in the garden. But then he messed up when he was transferring it. He didn't stay and didn't do like he was supposed to do. God got something for you to do, and you got to stand, and you got to be somewhere sometime. Look like you can't be two places at one time, but you can teach so that you're there when you're not there physically. You're there spiritually. That's what the message I get that God is trying to tell us about Abraham and Adam, not transferring what God had told them to their mate. They didn't transfer it. Abraham should have been somewhere when Sarah was saying that. He shouldn't have said okay so fast. He should have said, now wait a minute. Said back over there in Genesis, God said a man should leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife. He did not say cleave unto his wives. He just meant one. He should have been strong enough to say that God didn't say for us to do that. This is what he said, and we gotta wait. Juanita Bynum, I heard her sing a song, and I just know one line of it. I don't mind waiting on the Lord. Every now and then, God won't put you on hold, but you gotta wait on him. Some of us don't want to wait. We are impatient. We want it right now and in a hurry. Instead of boiling the water 2.5 minutes, we want it ready in 1 minute. God fixed us, so sometime there's something you just gotta wait on. You just gotta mature with him. You gotta stay right there. You gotta get camel knees, where you stand on your knees in prayer. I know all the time now we stand up and pray, but every now and then, sometime if you're coming in during the week, you will find me on my knees at that front pew over there in front of that door. I'm on my knees talking to God. I love to talk to him. Somebody said when you pray on your knees, you can't get distracted because you're down on your knees and you're just looking at what you come from and you're talking to God. You don't have time to gaze around to see who's watching you or who's listening to you. Every now and then, God fixes you, so you'll have to wait. I think sometime that's why sickness come up upon us, because God wants us to wait, and he wants us to wait and be patient while he's doing what he's doing. God will fix you during all your waiting. He'll put some stuff stuff in you that will make you wait. You'll enjoy your wait. God, I thank you for the part time that you're giving me to go through. Is Sarah considered the matter? She considered who it was that was making the promise. God himself made the promise. He said, you will have a child and you will bear seed and the seed will come through you. God fixes it so we can do just what he said. God himself, when she considered this, he put a change in her that was so dramatic that she turned around in her thinking, not in her walk. She turned around in her thinking. See, the first place the word got to get to you is in your mind. He gets in your mind because that's the first place sin comes. The devil attacks you in your mind. So the word will come to you in your mind. When you're thinking about God, he'll fix you so you don't mind waiting on him. Waiting on God is a pleasure because when you wait on him, you see the end. You see the blessing that he's going to give you. God could be counted faithful despite the human impossibilities, despite the fact that she was past childbearing age, despite the fact that Abraham was almost 100 years old, despite the fact that everybody, all the other men that saw Sarah thought she was a good-looking woman, 90 years old, but God fixes stuff that is well, will be well with you. God, don't get angry with me, but God will preserve you when you come to him. All you got to do is just look around and look at the elder saints that's in the church. Some of them get around better than the younger ones because they've been walking with God. When God order your steps, you're on a step where God would have you to step and you walk with him. He will preserve you. He'll fix you so you can do what thus said the Lord. When you get a taste of the great things that God can and will do for you, there is no return to where you used to be. Most of us want to sometimes go back. We have family reunions and homecomings. We want to go back. You just better want to go back physically. You don't want to go back spiritually, because once you get a taste of what God can do for you, the devil can't satisfy you, because you know that it's fake. When God fix you while you're waiting, he'll bless you beyond measure. God will do what he said. Listen, we want to return to where we used to be. You can't do it. You just won't fit. It's like trying to put a round peg in a square hole. It just won't fit. Some round pegs, if it's small enough, may get in a square hole, but it won't fit. It'll wobble around. It won't stay in one place, because when God touches you while you're waiting on God, he will touch you and you will be changed. Might look like the same on the outside, but I'm changed on the inside. The places I used to go, I don't want to go anymore. The things that I used to do, I don't want to do them anymore, because I don't mind waiting on the Lord. Lord, I'm going to wait because you said you are God. You're faithful to me. I know you brought me from where I come from, and I know that you're going to take me where I'm going to go. God is an awesome God. We need to move with jet lag speed when we're trying to get where God wants us to be. We don't have to worry about returning to where we used to be, because you can't make it. I keep saying this because some of us don't like to wait. We talk about how impatient we are, like it's a good thing. It is. If you're in sin, you ought to be impatient about remaining there. But if you're waiting on God, you ought to have patience, because nobody knows me like God knows me. Because why you said that back? Because he made me. He created me from the beginning of time. He fixed it the way he wanted to be. Listen, I have a desire to go to the city that's not built with hand, but is made by God, because I have have the divine favor on my life because God is watching over me. I don't mind waiting on the Lord because I know he will care for me. While I'm waiting on him, there's a preparation that will take place in me. While I'm waiting, God knocks off all the rough edges and he makes them smooth. While I'm waiting, the sin of lying, God buffers it and gets it off me. I could tell a lie, but I make up my mind that I'm not going to lie because God said a lie won't tarry in his sight. I don't mind waiting when I'm waiting on the Lord. Lord, prepare me the way you would have me to be. Point number three, a true faith involves a willingness, and this is what gets us as well, a willingness to sacrifice. We don't want to sacrifice anything. We want everybody else to give up something. I want to bring me and all of my sins into the house of God, and God just keep tolerating my sin. Not so. You got to sacrifice something. God, this one here demonstrates Abraham's his faith. It's the ultimate proof of our willingness is to sacrifice. By Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Abraham had been promised by God that your son is who the seed's going to come through. Well, somebody said that they lived in tents in the land, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they did not believe that was the end of where they was going to go. Abraham, before he got there, had to take Isaac. Chapter 22 of the book of Genesis, God talking to him, to Abraham, in the morning, when you wake up, I want you to get your only begotten son, take him to a mountain where I will show you, and you will travel there. He traveled 3 long days. I don't know what he thought about, but I said, bag it. If you got your son, you only got one, and you're listening to this God, and he tells you to get him and go and sacrifice him, and you that mean you're gonna kill him and put him on an altar and put a knife in him. Well, I don't believe stuff like this come to Abraham's mind, but he said he was obedient to the word of God. God said, and Abraham did. God told him to go. Abraham packed up and he loaded up the 2 asses and the 2 other men with him, and him and Isaac, they left going, walking. I just believe in the process of getting there, they had to stop and eat. I wonder if Abraham thought, so, well, this may be my son's last meal. I better have a good meal with him. The Bible doesn't say that anything like that, but he kept going. He kept walking and waiting on God, being obedient to the word of God, taking his only begotten son, who God had promised him. That's who the seed would come through. Abraham had only one son before Sarah died, but he had one. God had promised him one. And can I just tell you that whatever God promises, he will fulfill. Sarah found him faithful to his word. Abraham found him faithful to his word. Have you found God to be faithful to his word? I have. He'll do everything he said and do a little more too. Abraham carried his son to sacrifice him. Well, he did everything he was supposed to do. Left the 2 other boys down at the foot of the mountain. Him and Isaac with the wood and the knife and the fire went on up the mountain to sacrifice his son. The Bible says, I can't remember right now where it is in Genesis, where it said his son said, Daddy, I see the wood, I see the fire, but where's the lamb? Well, this tells me that Abraham had taught his son that you have to have a lamb for the sacrifice. He asked him, where's the lamb? Dad, is something missing in this deal? He said, God will provide for himself a lamb. God will provide for himself a lamb. Whatever your situation is, God will provide a lamb. Whatever it is, if you trust in God,
God. He will provide just what you need. We got to sacrifice. Abraham was willing to sacrifice being obedient to God. The Bible says that he got the knife, fixed the altar, put the wood, put his son on the altar, still being obedient to the word of God. Got his knife, drew it back with his son on the altar. And let me say this to all the young people in here. Isaac was not 2 or 3 years old. He was older than that. But he was being obedient to his father. Abraham had taught him something. He had taught him that if you're obedient, God will bless you. The fourth commandment in the Ten Commandments says, honor thy father and thy mother, and the day of days shall be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And Isaac was obedient to his daddy. I can see him laying up there on the altar with his eyes wide open, with his arms folded, because his daddy had put him up there. And I just believe he was looking at him. Well, Abraham drew the knife back. But see, when you're doing what God would have you to do, you have to keep your radio dial to heaven. Abraham was listening, and he heard the angel of God call him as he was about to bring the knife down. Abraham, Abraham. And he stopped him. He said, look over there in the bushes. I got a ram tied in the bushes. God will provide just what you need, but you got to make the sacrifice. I believe, and I know now, Abraham probably didn't live to see it, but he believed that God could raise him from the dead. Somewhere in there says that if God would have killed him, he said, I believe that God could raise him from the dead. I don't know where he got that from, unless he got it from God. Somewhere in the New Testament, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I was. You remember the three men that came along when Abraham was sitting in the door, and he fixed them a meal? They call it the angels of God. In theology, they call it a theophany, meaning that Jesus Christ walked to earth in another form of a man before he came. That could have been the time when he told him, Abraham, they're gonna kill me, but I will rise again. You can't stop God no matter what you do. When God make a sacrifice, it's all right. Listen to me. We have to have a willingness to sacrifice. Most of us, 99.9% of us, don't want to give up anything. We want to bring all of our stuff in God's house, in with God's people. Not so. You got to sacrifice. You got to give it up. And whatever you value that's in the world, when you come to God, he got something better for you. You might lose this, but what he got for you, you will not lose. God will replace whatever you think you have lost. God won't allow you to live for him with less than what the world provides for you. God will provide what you need. But you have to be willing to do some things yourself. There are some things that God's not going to do for you. What you can do for yourself, God will not do. He won't make you get up, and when you get up, he dress you to come to church. You have to do that yourself. You have to do some things yourself. I'm through, but let me see if I can get you to see where a lot of us are. And it's called having a bad day. Having a bad day. That was this lady who went to the doctor. She got to the doctor's office 15 or 20 minutes before her appointment. She yet had to wait for 2 hours before she could see the doctor. Then they sent her to have some lab work done. She had to wait to get the lab work done. It took longer than she felt like it should have taken, because she also had to pick the kids up from school. After having to pick the kids up from school, she had to go to Walmart to pick up her medicine. Just as she turned into Walmart, and I said in this, I said she must have been living in Florida, a thunderstorm came. And it started raining like it was like you've never seen it rain before. And as she was pulling into Walmart, she started praying, said, "Lord, let me find a good parking spot. Lord, would you let me find one up right next to the door?" Said, "'Cause it's raining and I don't want to get wet." Said, "Will you let me find that parking space?" And when she finished praying, before she finished praying, somebody was backing out at the first park away from the door. She pulled into the park. And when she pulled into the park, she said, "God, that's all right. You don't have to do it. I got one now." We're right there with God. God, the God, bless us. We think we've done it. We think we've done it. We don't need him. When the blessing comes, you ought to say, "Thank you." When God answers, you ought to tell him, "Thank you." Because somebody said, before we finish praying, he've answered. But you have to be walking with him. Walking with him in faith. In faith. Not knowing the believers in the Old Testament. They believed in a city that was coming. They believed in a Messiah that they never did see. Abraham was looking forward to the cross, but he believed that God could raise Isaac from the dead. He believed it. And here we are looking back at it and still don't believe it. We got to have that faith. Believe in that city. Believe that Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's coming after those as his. Will you stand? And if you don't know Jesus,